You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Over the past year, the Trump administration has taken a series of actions targeting political opponents. Under Trump's second term, the polarization of American politics has seemingly reached unprecedented levels, with members of the administration accusing a variety of peaceful individuals and groups of domestic terrorism. Dr. Maria Armudian is a professor of politics and international relations at the University of Auckland, who's written books on international human rights and the role that the media plays in shaping the future. She is also a dual citizen, having been born and raised in the United States, and this year she hopes to visit her home country. But she's worried that some of her viewpoints may land her in hot water when she arrives. Dr. Armudian, as a scholar of human rights and environmental politics, you've publicly taken many critical positions against various aspects of the current American administration. You've said that President Donald Trump denies the science of climate change, that he has a fondness for authoritarian dictators, that he doesn't value democracy, and that he is responsible for many human rights violations. With all that in mind, how comfortable do you currently feel about the prospect of visiting your home country under the present administration?
Oh, that's a loaded question, but thank you. Look, I'm definitely a little bit nervous. I mean, I'm clearly not a high enough profile person to receive the kind of wrath that the president has taken with other people. And in the targeting and the lawfare, I mean, that's one of the things that he uses is the legal apparatus as well as the security apparatus to go after his political opponents. You can just look at what happened to Governor Tim Walz most recently in having the political apparatus go after the so-called fraud that was going on in the state, which I'm sure had some truth to it, because all of these things usually have a little bit of truth. But essentially, they eliminated one person from being politically active as a public figure. So I'm not that level, but there are so many incidents in which people are coming into the country and are required to turn over their mobile phones. And in those incidents, you know, they can be harassed or targeted or interrogated. And who knows what could happen? In my case, you don't even have to look at my phone. You know, I put on public events, and I'm relatively, I mean, I feel like it's part of my duty, really, to talk about the things that run against the norms that we have held for so long, that we've held dear for so long for humanity, including human rights, and including, you know, free speech that is not harmful speech. But all of those things are now under threat. And so, yeah, I think going into the country next time I go, which could be very soon, could, you know, be a problem.
Could you just tell us a little bit more about what is actually happening to people as they enter the United States at the moment? You mentioned people's phones being taken off them. How common is that?
Well, it's mainly been for people who are coming over to the United States who are not citizens, and being turned away at the border. Like if they've said something negative, they've been turned away at the border. So this has happened to a series of scholars. Their social media has been scanned, and they just wouldn't let them in, even though they might have had proper visa credentials to come into the country. But it hasn't happened, to my knowledge, to citizens yet. But there are other forms of harassment that are always possible. You know, even just long interrogations. I'll tell you, even before Trump, I had gone through some difficulties going through the United States only because of the countries that I went to. You know, I was held for a long period of time while they went through all of my books page by page. And at the time, I was a sitting environmental commissioner for the city of Los Angeles. So it just tells you that these things could only get escalated under somebody like Donald Trump.
The Trump administration has applied the label of domestic terrorist to a variety of individuals and groups, including Antifa, several liberal nonprofit organizations, and more recently, the two American citizens who were killed on the streets of Minneapolis by Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents. Last year, Trump's top advisor, Stephen Miller, described the entire Democratic Party as a domestic extremist organization. Do you think that the Republican voter base takes this kind of rhetoric seriously? And do you think that this represents an unprecedented level of polarization in American politics?
Yes. It is unprecedented polarization coming from the highest levels of the government. Never in the history of the United States since the Civil War have we had a president who would actively call for the kinds of treatment that he has and the labels of terrorist on, you know, half or more of the country. So that is absolutely unprecedented. When I speak with everyday Americans, they are divided. There are people who can watch that video of, say, Renee Good being gunned down in her car after she so nicely said, "I'm not mad at you, dude. It's okay." You know, even though her spouse was, you know, a little bit taunting, not a capital offense, I add. But some people can watch that video and say, "Oh my God, this is like unbelievable. This could happen on the street of Minneapolis." While other people say, "Well, she was trying to drive over an agent." And I don't, it's really difficult to make the bridge to the second one, right? If you actually watch the video. And even if she had, you know, escalated her her vehicle, the speed of her vehicle, it's not a capital offense. So, you know, these are things that get framed by the way that a president speaks. The way a situation is framed affects how people can see it. And a frame essentially leaves out tons of information, includes some information, and puts a spin on it. And that's what he's doing. And it's not unlike what you see in other authoritarian countries. The word terrorist is frequently used to target people who might be political opponents so that you can either harass them into silence, jail them, which also puts them in silence. They might get killed. You know, it wasn't that long ago that the Speaker of the House in Minnesota was assassinated in her bed along with her husband and her dog. So, I mean, these things are happening much more than they had ever happened in American history before. Now it's so completely out of hand that the level of security is just super high for all public officials and other public figures. And just another thing that I think is important is that it's not just speech at this point. Last September, Trump issued a memorandum called the National Security Presidential Memorandum, NSPM-7, that was called Countering Domestic Terrorism and Organized Political Violence. So this is kind of an official act to try to target nonprofits, activists, other people who are just trying to protect civil liberties or protect human rights of others, and enables him to start using that apparatus again. And whether it's the political apparatus, the official apparatus, using the IRS or using the other investigative tools the federal government might have, or whether it's just triggering these extra political groups to then go and be violent and assassinate a Speaker of the House in Minnesota, that's, you know, that's pretty bad. There's been one study that showed that following Donald Trump's tweets targeting certain groups with hate language increased violence against them. So it's not crazy to think that some people are accepting this framing and believing that their fellow Americans are what he might call domestic terrorists or enemies of the people.
That was Maria Armudian, Associate Professor in Politics and International Relations and Director of the University of Auckland Sustainability Hub.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.